Well, anyway, this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology. Adventure number 158C, page 674, and we've been talking about quaternaries, the Logoic quaternary and the human quaternary. There's also the quaternary and the one about whom naught may be said, in which, or in a cosmic logos. Sirius is not a member of that quaternary, but our sun is. So we'd have to look for certain stars of a lower type, probably Alpha Centauri. I think I dealt with this before. And whatever represents the base of the spine, is it Altair? Sometimes I've liked to think of it that way because it flies. It rises. So, solarly speaking, not our sun. And, just to say this, you know, it's a little disturbing to me, but if our sun is a member of a super logoic quaternary, then the heart center can be a member of the quaternary. And it is not limited to sub diaphragmatic centers. But of course, our sun is definitely a heart center in a cosmic logos. So anyway, I'm laying that out. Can the heart be part of the quaternary? It definitely is part of four lower major chakras. But then we'd have a problem in the solar logos because we'd have to say that Venus, solar plexus, Mars, sacral, Earth, base of spine, and Jupiter, heart, would all be members of the logoic quaternary. So that's our task for the day, or for some time, to think about who can be members in a logoic quaternary. There we have sacred planets. When we think about the logoic quaternary or the quaternary of man, we mostly are dealing, the lower quaternary, we're dealing with non-sacred planets. If we can include the heart, you see. The sun, our sun, is a member of what? Let's put it like this. Sun, quaternary. The sun is the same as man's relationship, etc. The sun attained full expression. He is of the fourth order. He is the quaternary. Okay, that's a different thing. Let's see here. Higher quaternary. This final one is eventually merged with the sun, the higher quaternary. There are lower quaternaries and higher quaternaries. And let's look at the word Sirius, quaternary. And I think Sirius is not. Mercury again comes at this point into our discussion, and thus you have the formation of an esoteric quaternary, and it's higher, affecting powerfully the major quaternary of man, not the lower quaternary, but spirit, soul, mind, and brain. This is a major quaternary. So just when we use the word quaternary, it oftentimes means that which is lower, but there can be those that are higher. This higher quaternary is Sirius, Leo, Mercury, Saturn. Okay. We have to have our logos quaternary. Maybe it's not sun. Quaternary. Okay. All right, Pleiades make a lower quaternary. Quaternary merging into the triad, lower quaternary. The three called the Buddhas of Activity are but vice regents upon our planet of those three planetary logoi who with our planetary logos make the sum total of the logoic quaternary. So we might, well, that's another matter, but we might find the Buddhas as the representatives of certain logoi. Venus would be among them, I suppose. Mars, I suppose, would be among them. And what other planet would have the Buddha of activity as a representative? Vulcan? Could it be Vulcan or Mercury? That requires some examination. Thus, the four great schemes in the solar system, which are the vehicles for the four of the planetary logoi who constitute the logoic quaternary, have to reach a certain stage of vibratory capacity and of consciousness before similar happenings occur in its fullness in the solar system, and the lower four and the higher three are synthesized. This is, I think, a related subject. Where man is concerned, the angels, Agni Stratas, produce the spiritual triad of divine self and the quaternary or lower self. Okay. Where the logos is concerned, whether solar or planetary, they produce conditions whereby the etheric and dense vehicles become a unit. So the quaternary is a lower factor. Let's see if we're going to get there any place. Personality expression. The major constellations are, in a few instances, peculiarly connected with the signs of the zodiac. There are four of the zodiacal signs which are mysteriously concerned with what one might call the personality expression, if such an unsuitable term can be used in default of a better, of the solar logos himself, or with the divine quaternary. And these four signs are, but you kind of wonder about their rulers. Those are signs connected with the quaternary. Well, this is going to be a little difficult. Maybe the word was not quaternary, maybe it was personality manifestation. Solar or logos, personality. Ah, there's too many. Well, we'll have to look at that a little bit later, if we can. Well, I think I've found something after moving back and forth. And these are important statements here. So our sun is a member of a superlogoic quaternary. Then the heart can be. But this is very interesting. The cosmic logos of our system work similarly through three major systems, of which ours is not one. So the cosmic logos is the lord of a constellation which we sometimes call the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. So the cosmic logos works through three, utilizing seven solar systems, of which ours is one, for the distribution of his force, and having myriads of sevenfold groups as the cells of his body. Cosmic Fire 535. So it tells us that the cosmic logos is working through. It tells us that our sun is a member of a quaternary of this cosmic logos, but not of the higher triangle. So that is what I want to point out. Our sun is a member of the quaternary of the cosmic logos, but not of the higher triangle. Okay. Now, where Sirius belongs, we don't yet know. But Sirius would be here. Now, the three major streams, usually it's the head, stream one, the heart, stream two, the throat, stream three. Those are considered to be the three major centers, usually. So somehow Our solar logos, which is a heart center in this cosmic logos, is not considered, however, to be one of the higher triangles, so maybe he's looking at the triangle in a different way, the three major streams in a different way. Maybe he's looking at it in terms of the head. One, two, and back of the head, three. Now here's another one, which is a similar kind of reference, and which is very important. But it doesn't have to do so much with our solar logos as with planets. Just as in the development of humanity, three main lines can be seen with four lesser lines merging into one of the three major lines. In other words, there's one, two, and a three hovering above the four, five, six, seven. In other words, you know what I'm talking about here, I'm sure. Just going here to the... Here it is. One, two, with the three hovering above the four, five, six, seven, and the consequent merging of the four into the third. So, in connection with the heavenly man, there are three main lines of which the Venusian is not one. The lord of the planet of the lord of Venus holds place in the logoic quaternary, as does the Lord of Earth. So, in this logoic quaternary, shall we include the heart, or are these not generally considered to be the head, heart, and throat? Or would they be considered to be the head, ajna, and alta major? Well, or head, heart, and alta major, as the center, I mean, head, heart, and ajna, is what I mean. Head, heart, and ajna. With beneath that other centers, base of the spine, sacral center, maybe throat center at some point. There's different ways of dividing this, but we have the first, second, and third aspect, and apparently Venus is not a member of the three principal lines, and hence is relegated to the quaternary. So I suppose when looking at the heart center and the ajna, which do we include? Or maybe looking at the throat and the ajna, which do we include? The heart can be a substitute for the ajna for the heart or the ajna for the throat. The heart is generally considered pretty important in the higher stream, and yet our sun is a heart center in the cosmic logos, and yet not part of the major three. So you see what we're confronted with. I think we have to consult these two references at least to demonstrate that Venus is not one of the major three systems. Not one of the major three, although in a way it's a home to one of the temporary principles. In other words, temporarily, Venus will have to do with the third aspect until the sacred planets take over. Now, I know I've taken a long time on this. It's fairly intricate. I guess I'm pretty dogged, and I'm trying to solve this question of the true place of Venus and whether it belongs. If it belongs in the logoic quaternary, as does the Lord of the Earth, whether it can be a heart center. Because the sun belongs in the logoic quaternary, and it is a heart center. Can Venus also belong in the quaternary of our solar logos? See, the quaternary of a cosmic logos, the sun is there and not part of the higher three. And a cosmic logos is like seven solar systems, of which ours is one. But can the Lord of Venus, in our solar system, and not in the system of a cosmic logos, but in our solar system, can it be part of the logoic quaternary and still be a heart center? This is vexing. I do think we need, you know, Jupiter as the heart center and Venus with its sixth ray monad as the solar plexus center. So let's just say, nope, we won't say that, will we? We'll say this, and it will weigh on my mind, but we'll say the jury is still out. Okay. And here, this statement that I made earlier should go along with this higher quote. And, you know, it's very important to discriminate between a cosmic logos of seven suns and an unknown or supercosmic logos of seven constellations, you know. There's no question about that in my mind. If we go to a treatise on cosmic fire and page 293, we find that. The cosmic logos has seven solar systems, and the center is the solar logos. So a seven sun system is a cosmic logos, and in the unknown, which I call the superconstellational logos, the centers are cosmic logoi. This is a very important map which some have overlooked in trying to determine the scale of things. Anyway, what we do know is Venus is part of the logoic quaternary, but not part of the higher three lines. And yet, with Saturn and Jupiter, it is a home to one of the super principles, however temporary, and I think believe it's monastic. Okay. Forgive me for that long extension. I hope if there is at least not resolution, there is a sense of the problems that we have to deal with when trying to assign a chakra to Venus. For the moment, I'm thinking the solar plexus center. I don't want to substitute Venus for the heart center yet. I believe it is not yet monadically demonstrating sufficiently to be the heart center, but Jupiter is demonstrating in its soul in the second ray solar system, emphasizing soul, that Jupiter is demonstrating sufficiently in its soul, the second ray, to be the heart center. Venus is in the fifth round and is therefore further progressed than other planets. Now, watch this. Don't watch that. Put it like this. What this means, really, is that there are scheme rounds, and chain rounds. And I think here we're talking about, whenever we just talk about a planet being in a round, when we speak of a planet being in a round, we are talking about a scheme round. S-C-H-R. Oh, there it is. Talking about a scheme round. When we talk about a chain being in a round, we're talking about a chain round, or maybe some would call it a planetary round. It goes through the different globes. So the impulse travels through different chains in a scheme round and passes through different globes in a chain round. Venus is in its fifth round and therefore further progressed than other planets. This seems to imply that no other planet is yet in its fifth, in its fifth scheme round. Not even Mercury, which is working through a fourth chain and a fifth globe. I thought maybe Mercury would be, but it says no other planet. Well, it doesn't exactly say that. It says is therefore further progressed. it implies that no other planetary scheme is in its fifth round. As I say, Mercury is a candidate for that. If we go here to, and we go up a little, we see that Mercury is in its fourth chain and fifth globe. Venus only has the double five, and does that mean somehow that it's in its fifth scheme round? So many are in their fourth scheme round, but I suspect that some are in their third scheme round. And this has, of course, these are secrets of initiation and have to be somehow worked out. We can only hint at them. Sometimes it gets a little bit frustrating, but we also have to talk about what we don't know. I think that's important, necessary to speak of what we do not know, as it is an invocation to what may be known. So, obviously, I'm thinking out loud, and, you know, you're being patient with me, some of you. And I'm thinking out loud, trying to arrive at the truth of these things. So the divine pattern may stand forth with clarity, and the correspondences that we may take from the higher pattern may be accurately applied to the lower. We have to really move in both directions, of course. Trouble is, you know, you look at the human personality, you can see Mars everywhere. Mars represents the entire fourfold elemental. Mars represents the concrete mind, really does. Mars represents the astral body, definitely. Mars does not represent the etheric body, but it does represent the dense physical body. So we have three Mars positions and a fourth, summarizing them, just like the moon. Now, if we are to take all the non-sacred planets, we can say that Pluto represents the mental body. It may not be sufficient. Mars, the astral body, quite definitely. Earth, the etheric body, where DK already hints at that. But then he talks about the solar plexus, you know, for Pluto. It can be done the other way, too. Mars can represent the five senses and the mental body, and Pluto, the solar plexus. And then Earth, the etheric body, and definitely the moon for the dense physical, and the Ahamkarik sun for the synthesis of the elemental personality. The sun represents the synthesis of all these vehicles in the moon, related to the moon. That's one way to look at the elemental vehicles of man. But of course we can assign other planets. Mercury has its place in the concrete mind, so does Saturn. Neptune has its place in the astral body. Uranus has its place in the etheric body. Mars also has its place in the dense physical body, and so does Saturn. So there are many assignments, and we hope not to get lost in the trees, but to see the forest somehow. It's just when you look for strict one-to-one correspondences, as if they were true for all time, that you run into trouble. Because things change over time and different assignments become possible. At the present stage, no other planet is in its fifth scheme round, apparently. We could say that Mercury might be a candidate for being in its fifth scheme round, if the above is not to be taken too rigorously. But if it's not Mercury, it's nothing, because the other planets are waiting to be developed at a later time in our solar logos's unfoldment. And we know where Mars and the Earth are. We know where Vulcan is. So in a way, Mars and the Earth occupy an intermediary position. Mercury, an advanced position, Venus, the most advanced position, and Jupiter, Saturn, Vulcan, represent the least unfolded position. They're still working in their third chain. And you have to wonder whether that means they're somehow in their third scheme round. Maybe, maybe not. We have to really decide what a scheme round actually is and how it works. The trouble with rounds is they are not just the sequential methods of progress that some might think them to be. Well, we'll come to that. At the present stage of evolution in the systemic centers, i.e. the planets, he does call them, notice, systemic centers. Venus and Earth and Saturn form a triangle of great interest, and we have discussed this triangle. And let's just say that Kundalini is vivifying these, and also Uranus. Well, on two of these planets, the method of initiation has been tried or is being tried, and that's Venus and the Earth. Not sure about Saturn. If the method of initiation is not being tried, then there's a slow unfoldment through normal growth. How can we look at this? We have we did look at this before, the throat, the possible solar plexus, and the base of the spine. We have discussed this. And in terms of the vehicles, Saturn very connected with the atomic vehicle, I think. And Earth with the etheric vehicle, and Venus with the astral vehicle. Saturn also has to do with the lower mind in general. Saturn can find itself in a number of places: Atma, higher mind, lower mind, or at least Atma triadal mind, and also the lower mind, the concrete mind, and also related to the Earth in the sense of a dense physical vehicle. Saturn is mental, you know. Saturn has a strong mental connection because in a great third ray being, Saturn is the mental body and Earth is the physical body. So I think we see here planets that could be important in the in the personality of the solar logos. If we want to substitute Venus for Mars, we'll say there is improvement in the astral condition of this entity, which involves Saturn, Mars, and Earth as the three representing the three vehicles. But our solar logos has taken his second initiation, and so Venus in the Kama Manasic expression is probably active in relation to his astral body. So let's say in relation to our solar logos, Venus, let's say, who has taken the second initiation, Venus is now more active in helping to refine with love the astral body, the solar logoic astral body. Well, we discussed this from various guys. It's undergoing vivification, yes, and it is increasing the vibratory capacity of the planetary and individual centers. Well, Venus is connected with the Pleiades, Saturn with Shambhala. Which planetary centers are undergoing vivification? Planetary and individual centers. We're interested in the planets, I suppose, the planetary centers. These may be considered Well, on our globe, the cities and continents. But in our scheme, the chains and the globes. That's the problem when a word like planetary is used. Okay. I'm not satisfied. Although I did discuss this particular one before, probably I'm discussing it again because I'm not satisfied. Two of these are super principles. Saturn, the first ray, and Venus with the third aspect of divinity, homes for the logoic principles. We can assign planets to chakras, but we can also assign them to permanent atoms. And let's just say, in the assignment of planets to solar logoic chakras and solar logoic permanent atoms, much can be learned. See, I think it may be possible from the permanent atom point of view to assign Venus to the monastic permanent atom at the present time, and maybe Earth to the mental unit of the present time. Then there are assignments, to the astral permanent atom and physical permanent atom. Saturn is the correspondence to the physical permanent atom. And Uranus is a kind of, it's not a literal correspondence, but it's suggestive correspondence to the mental permanent atom, and Neptune to the astral permanent atom. So it gets to be quite a tangle. We'd have to sort all this out. It's probably not worth doing right at this moment. And we've done this one already. Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn might be, from the standpoint of the present time, be considered as the vehicles of the three super or major principles. Well, what are those principles? It's not only the aspects of divinity. Those principles are, as I have stated, Atma, Buddhi, and Manas. We're going to have Saturn definitely as Atma, Jupiter as Buddhi, and Venus, interestingly, as Manas. And yet the chakra that it rules may be altogether different. Though, as I say, there is a connection there with the five, because the solar plexus is the fifth chakra. It could represent the mental permanent atom. Or it could, it could have its place in the spiritual triad of the solar logos, and so forth. Atma, the atmic vehicle, Buddhi, and Jupiter, the Buddhic vehicle, and there are permanent atoms there in the solar logos. So we are definitely talking about the constitution of the solar logos and the reflection, probably, in the solar logoic personality. Well, the implications are many. In the human system, the right eye corresponds with Buddhi and Mercury, and the left eye with Manas and Venus. Interestingly, the right eye could correspond with the right part of the Ajna Center, and its colors would be yellow and rose. The monastic colors, well, the yellow would go for Mercury, of course. The monastic colors would be blue and violet in the left part of the Ajna Center, and Venus could undertake the blue, but it has a connection as well with the rose, interestingly enough, and violet and yellow are complementary colors. Thus, for the integration of the Ajna Center. But this is an idea with which we are very familiar, the right eye and the left eye. And then the right eye ends up being, well, let's look at it this way. We can say that the right eye is buddhic, and the left eye is higher manasic. Now we can go further and say, and lower, right eye is astral, and the left eye is lower manasic. There's a little change in arrangement there, but it's always manas on the left, and the left-hand path is trodden because of an over-accentuation of manas. Okay. Well, you know, being the type that likes to found schools, get universities going, things of that nature, I'm seeing of all the things that can be pondered by the students of those future schools, by myself. Not every puzzle is possible for me to break here. I don't know for whom it would be possible. Maybe, you know, different people can break different puzzles, solve different puzzles. It's certainly possible. But I think we're told here about the right eye astral. There's going to be something there to that nature. And Secret Doctrine, Right Eye, Eye of Buddhi. This is an esoteric healing where I think it belongs. And the left eye, the eye of manas. This, when in relation to Buddhi, refers to the higher mind. Right. And that's so important. Sometimes it is not brought out that way. So I'm going to take this quote from Esoteric Healing and pure monastic energy is involved here. Esoteric Healing 571. And then that helps solve the problem. Because how can we jump over so much and go down to lower manas in relation to Venus? It's higher manas, isn't it? It's the higher mental plane, isn't it? Okay, but let's continue. Because I think there's more here. Referring to the higher mind. In the average human being, therefore, before reaching perfection, the right eye transmits the energy of the astral body when directed consciously towards an object of attention, and the left eye, the lower mind. And in between these two directing eyes is to be found the Ajna Center, which is like the third eye, or directing agent for the blended and fused energies of the personality. Related to this third eye, as it awakens, is the eye of the soul. And this within the highest head center. This is really important. You know, I kind of want to take this whole thing. In the Disciple of Man, well, this is it. 572 and 571. This is it. This tells us the story of the eyes. And they are different distributors for three classes of beings. So we begin with the eye of the soul, the third eye, which is the agent of love, the right eye buddhic energy, and left eye pure monastic and the Ajna Center directing these. But when we go further, in the disciple who is beginning to function as a soul, it's a little lower, the third eye, distributor of soul energy, not triadal energy, the right eye for the astral body, the left eye for the lower mental energy and the Ajna Center focusing point for these three energies. Then we go to the average man. The right eye is the agent for the astral nature and left eye for the mental energy and Ajna Center, the distributing station. Very important when considering those statements taken out of context. Okay. I'm going to Well, I want to copy the whole thing, don't I? I do, don't I? Okay. All right, so in the perfected man, we have this. This is such an important thing because sometimes we say, oh yeah, the right eye, the eye of Buddhi, and left eye of Manas. But it's pure monastic energy. It is from the higher mental plane. And there's a big difference there. And that's why, of course, Venus can be associated with higher Manas. And maybe with the monastic permanent atom. In a way, carrying one of the super principles related to the third ray. Okay, moving on. In the middle of the fifth round, the logos of Mercury will, with the logos of Venus and our Earth, form a temporary triangle. This I did discuss before. And somehow we'll have to locate these discussions so they can be easily accessed. Right now it's a long listen of some, you know, maybe 300 hours. It's a long listen. All right, so this means I'd say this. This will be at the time of the judgment day. And Mercury and Venus will be pulling, Mercury and Venus will be pulling in one direction and Mars in another. And Earth will be lifted up through the Mercury-Venus-Earth triangle. There may be also an Earth-Pluto-Mars triangle, which will work in the opposite direction. Venus and Jupiter are closely allied with the Earth and form eventually an esoteric triangle, and I talked about this. The rendering sacred of the Earth, and also, let's say, the improvement of the astral body of the our planetary logos. Venus, being in the fifth round, had the mind principle coordinated and developed, and the four minor mental aspects had been synthesized. I suppose these are the aspects having to do with the four subplanes, and the Buddhic aspect was being provided with a means of expression through the medium of the fifth principle. So when a planet is in a round, it is a scheme round. When a chain is in a round, it's a chain round. Or maybe sometimes called planetary round. I think it's an ambiguous term. Depends on what a planet means. So with Venus, we have the mind as the instrument of Buddhi. And we don't have that yet on our Earth. Our Earth is in her fourth scheme round, I will wager to say. You know, sometimes when we talk about the rounds and we think about when the great laws looked in for to see whether there had been sufficient development for them to begin to do their work and create a true humanity. I think, again, we have to be careful of what round we're talking about. When speaking of the development of the kingdoms and of humanity, what type of round are we referring to? Would it be a scheme round, or would it be a chain round? Man was developed here in the fourth chain round, which is also part of the fourth scheme round. But attempts had been made to develop man out of the remnants of a previous round. So, let's see, attempts had been made to develop man out of the remnants of a previous round. And was that previous round the entirety of the third scheme route? That is a question. That, of course, would have been a very long time ago, and the remnants would have had to have been accessible. Even in the third chain round, there was no man, but there may have been many other kinds of animals. And it seems that those remnants were left over from a previous round. They were not part of the fourth round development. And the combination, the unintelligent combination of those remnants led to monstrous results, which had to be destroyed. And all of this, I think, the destruction and so forth, it happened in our chain and in our fourth scheme round. But where did the remnants come from? Did they come from a chain round and the lives developed during a chain round? Or did they come from lives developed when a scheme round passed through our chain and globe? It's vast, isn't it? It's very vast. And the possibilities for confusion are immense, but then, you know, we could keep our inquiry to a very narrow circle, or we could run the risk that we may become confused at times, but, you know, one would hope to be confused in a higher way, as they say. There are three planetary schemes in which Manas is manifested, two in which already Buddhi is monastically demonstrating, and of these two, Venus is one. And what would you think? If we go to page 377 of Cosmic Fire, we're going to spend a lot of time in Cosmic Fire. Let's see. Manasically demonstrating. So it's going to be right here. Here it is. We're talking about chains. This has to be really discussed. I mean, you know, the trouble is you can learn so much in a short time that it would affect everything you thought you knew before. So all you can do is put things forth at the present level of your knowledge and ignorance and hope for the best. An interesting correspondence of a very occult nature can be worked out by the advanced student, in connection also with the seven schemes. There are two which may be considered primarily archetypal, causal, or involving abstraction. Well, how about Uranus and Neptune? Three in which Manas is manifested. And two in which already Buddhi is monastically demonstrating. Of these two, Venus is one, and thus we have the three of the two which make the five schemes of the five Kumaras, who are Brahma. So three in which Manas is manifested, and two in which already Buddhi is monastically demonstrating. Well, my sense of this is, what's your sense? The two would have to be Venus and Mercury. The most unfolded of the planets, of the planetary schemes. The most unfolded. Not necessarily the highest, as we are told that Venus was not part of that higher triplicity, but the most unfolded for their particular status. So we have in these two planets, one hypothetical, Buddhi Manas. Working, and in others just Manas. But you know, we have we look like we're dealing only with seven. There are two, three, and two. There's only seven. And, you know, are we only including the sacred planets here? There's already transmutation going on Vulcan, there is on Earth too, and Venus is quite completed. We're not told about others. So is Earth one of those? Maybe we just have to stick to the sacred planets. So the two would have to be Uranus and Neptune. They're archetypal primarily and causal. Manus would have to be demonstrating if we just stick to the sacred planets in Saturn, Vulcan, and Jupiter. And then in terms of the two unfolded planets, which are Buddhically demonstrating because they're far enough ahead to do so, it would be Venus and Mercury. And then we'd be leaving out other planets because perhaps they're not even demonstrating Manus sufficiently. So one assignment would be archetypal Uranus and Neptune, demonstrating Manus would be Vulcan, Jupiter, and Saturn. Interesting that we have kind of a 1, 2, 3 there in terms of the soul rays. Demonstrating the effect of Buddhi on Manus, or let's say Manus is, what did he say, Buddhically demonstrating? Monastically demonstrating. That, well, let's just do it this way. Buddhi is monastically demonstrating, then we would have Venus for sure and probably Mercury. What would this tell us about the unfoldment of our solar logos? Well, it depends on what chakras these stand for. Vulcan, well, Jupiter, a heart center, Saturn, a throat center. Can Vulcan be connected with the head center? Those are not so advanced. Least advanced of all would be the head center and the heart in the head center, Uranus and Neptune, respectively. Venus would be a solar plexus center, but when we would assign only the sacred planets, it could have, well, let's leave it at that. Mercury, largely an ajna center. Solar plexus would be the most unfolded in our astro-Buddhic solar system. And then, of course, we'd have Mars, sacral, very unfolded. And we'd have our Earth, base of the spine, not very unfolded. And Pluto, we don't know much about. I think that would cover it. That could be our assignment. Our assignment of of planets, planetary schemes in relation to the unfoldment of Manus and Buddhi. Venus is in her last round and has nearly brought the fourth kingdom to perfection. And what is that last round? That is the fifth. Fifth round. And really, the fifth scheme round. Humanity is nearly brought to perfection, meaning, most are on the verge of the fourth initiation. That is perfection. Perfection is a fourth quality, completeness, Jupiter, four, and so forth. That rounding out and liberation. Our human kingdom is only one-fifth transmuted. Full transmutation is five-fifths. the full transmutation almost accomplished on Venus is 5 over 5. Vulcan has 2 over 5 and Earth, 2 over 5 and Earth, 1 over 5. He doesn't give us the other places where transmutation may be occurring, you know, is just a question. Is Mercury 4 over 5? Question. Because Mercury is just a little bit behind Venus in its unfoldment. But that could be, you know, even in the, after the judgment day, when those who are on the, remaining with the Earth, are on the path, it will not be the full transmutation by any means. There will be those who are on the probationary path and they're working towards transmutation. We will not have caught up with Venus. If the judgment day occurs during the fifth chain round, if it occurs much later during the fifth scheme round, where would it occur? On our planet? In our planetary scheme? Or would it occur more with every round, we have some millions of years. HBB has said over 300 million. So it's a long wait to wait even for chain rounds, even for the fifth chain round is a long wait. But we would also think that our planetary logos had to take a certain series of initiations through different chains, maybe through 7 different chains. And maybe those would be more cosmic initiations. Somehow one could hope or get the idea that the second cosmic initiation could be taken by our planetary logos in his present chain, the chain which is receiving so much focus, but maybe it has to occur somewhere else. Okay. Well, friends, I think what I'll do is say that this is the end. End of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 158C. Page 670. Which means there's only 20 pages left to go. Countdown. Beginning of Esoteric Astrology number 158D, page 675.